You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com. And joining me for our weekly show on the other line, the man with too many titles, Tony East. Tony, the Pacers beat Oklahoma City. Should we start gloating?
Paul George lost to the Pacers. It finally happened.
I mean, he had an incredible game, but
he did.
They beat the Thunder without the Pacers' best player. I mean, I think that's worth gloating a little bit.
Oh yeah, they played outstanding in that second half. And it was funny because in that Knicks game, you know, they got up big and then just bled it out, and then finally got up themselves and then let that lead get away. So when they were down 19, I was like, well, if the Knicks can go on a run against this team, they don't have a chance to come back. And then they did. I almost turned it off, and they came back and won. So it was very awesome.
So what bothered me the most about the game is that if Oladipo had played, the combined points of Sabonis and Oladipo probably would have outweighed Paul George. And then you could quote that we won the trade because of that reason. Because of that reason.
2-1 isn't even fair.
I mean, that was the trade.
Two players against one isn't even fair.
But I think Oklahoma City is actually a good place to start this podcast because that was probably the best game of the week.
Easily,
yeah, by far. And I think in that game we saw probably what makes me most disappointed about the team this year is that this team is really the 8-9 guys they're playing are really good. And if they had Oladipo, this team could be good enough to go farther. And that's why it was kind of one of the moments like, oh right, this team is still really good without Oladipo, and it sucks that he got hurt.
They keep losing games to like Denver on Saturday, for example, where it's like they lose and everyone's like, oh, they're not that good. It's like, no, they all their losses outside of a few, I guess, over the last, like since the All-Star break, have been to like average or better teams.
They don't have a bad loss since Oladipo got hurt. Not that I can really think of. I mean,
the Cavs is the only bad loss this season to me.
I guess that Washington loss, that'd be the bad one. That'd be it.
They're okay though. They're like,
yeah, but they lost by like 28 to the Wizards. That's why it was bad. Or 18. 18 to the Wizards.
That was like, the second worst one.
But besides that, I mean, all their losses are either good teams or
average teams on the road.
Yeah, and none of it is by a ton of points. I know they got smoked by the Bucks, but that's about it. And the Sixers game, yeah, they lost by like 17, but that was not a 17-point game most of the game.
Yeah, that was a fourth quarter explosion. And then the Thunder game happens and you realize that they can beat good teams. And you know, we worry about that all year, but now it doesn't matter as much without Vic. But they're still, you know, they're clearly still good. And they have stretches like that second half where you're like, oh my God, if they could do this for 48 minutes, they're very good.
Well, and that's what sort of gives you hope going into the playoffs because, I mean, realistically, I don't think they can win a first round series, but you feel like if they could put together the stretches they're putting against Oklahoma City, against some of the better teams, maybe when that like three quarter run against Philadelphia for a full three or four games, they actually could probably upset a team that's kind of overlooking them. Now, I think their problem is going to be is that, like, I don't think if they're in the 4-5 matchup, Boston's going to overlook them because Boston realizes that, you know, they've kind of like almost been too good too soon since Oladipo hurt. Cause it's like, oh, they're no longer shocking you when they win games.
And they'll have played twice in like the prior weeks, so they'll know how good they are.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I guess the biggest problem with this team, that's kind of where we should probably go next, is that they have these like stretches where they're just completely dead on offense. I mean, if you look at it,
yeah,
going across three. So against the Knicks, they have a quarter of 18 points, Thunder a quarter of 22, and then against the Nuggets, a quarter of, I think, 15. I mean, that's just not acceptable to win games.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And it's like, it's kind of hard to pinpoint because it's not always the same lineup either. You know, it's like a hosh-posh of five guys that just happens to go through stretch where they can't score. And like they're playing a little slower, you know, it's anecdotally, you know, it just feels like it takes them longer to get into their offense and they're not as like crisp with everything, but it's not the same guys. So it's hard for me to pinpoint like, oh, this is clearly a person or thing that is making this happen. It's just like every game they have a stretch where this happens and I can't figure it out.
I mean, I think it's a lack of a dominant player. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that's there's nobody on the team that kind of can just say, give me the ball, game. I'm going to score.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the problem, like I said, the problem keeps going back is that none of this is really blamable on anybody in the front office because, you know, I guess you could say that they need two stars. I mean, that's why every, you know, when a team has two stars, they're usually able to survive when one gets hurt. But the fact is that, like, they sacrificed that second star to basically be nine deep. And when you're this deep, when you need a big player to step up, you sometimes don't have it because you've got eight guys who all kind of feel like we're all part of the machine and not like somebody can just kind of step up and be like, oh, we can't score for 5 minutes straight. I'm going to hit two big buckets and get us out of this kind of slump.
Well, and the other thing is, like, during these stretches, all their shot attempts they get up to me, like, suck. You know, like a contested off the dribble something or another, or like a forced floater in the lane because they can't really get a lot. It's like, it's so much different than the rest of their stretches. And it's confusing that they can't, like, why can't you generate the same looks for this random stretch of every game?
It seems like teams figure out how to play them offensively sometimes. I guess might be the right way to play it. Like, they figure out, like, if we attack them here, then the Pacers don't adjust fast enough. And I don't know if that's a coaching mistake, a player mistake, or whatever it is, but they don't seem to adjust fast enough to when they're in these long, awful stretches. And it seems like, I mean, we probably even saw this earlier in the year where they'd have stretches where they would be down 10 or 15 points in the first half. And maybe it's simply that McMillan needs to step in sooner, call a timeout when he sees them, you know, have a 2 minute run that can't make a shot.
He got a little slow on the timeouts too.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, there's something that needs to change. And I don't know whether it's, I mean, I know Bojan has sort of tried to be the guy and kind of push them. It's like when everybody else is bad, he kind of tries to be the guy to score, but then you get into those weird opportunities where he's just like throwing up layups that are, or he's trying to draw fouls. And the problem is, even when they get fouls, the free throws don't help the flow of the game. It doesn't make, you know, you get free throw points, it doesn't really feel the same as you hit a big three or like a nice step back jump or something like that. It's just, I don't know really what the solution is to the problem, I guess. It just seems like they're stuck.
I think teams have kind of figured out that Bojan's the guy too. You know, you're seeing a little bit more of like overloading his side of the floor when he dribbles or goes around a screen.
I mean, I guess, is it simple enough that they need to have some kind of offensive playmaker in at all moments? Like, you need to have a Sabonis on the floor? Or, I mean, I guess, who's the other? I mean, Collison, is that the other guy now on the offensive end?
Well, maybe
the point is you need one and a half. You need Sabonis or Bojan plus another guy. You need, like,
that's what I was trying to say to you before this. It's like, what makes Vic so awesome? Never mind. That's a terrible way to start this. One of the many things that makes Vic awesome is, like, if their set sucks, you just throw it to Vic and he beats a guy off the dribble. And the defense collapses, and you can, like, in the chaos of the moment, you can freelance your way into some good-ish shot because he can break down the defense off the dribble. And Sabonis in the post can, like, kind of do the same thing. You know, he's got a great up and under and a bevy of post moves. So when he puts the ball on the floor, like, attention comes to him, defenders come to him, and you can create something from that. And there's no one else that can really do that. You know, we thought Tyreek could, and he can't really do much recently. And Bojan's kind of doing it, but it's mostly shots for himself. And I think you're right, DC's like a half there.
Yeah, I mean, Thad might be a half too.
Yeah, they just don't have enough of that. And, like, so they run the set when they get down there, and when they're struggling, you know, they get into that slow. So then it's like they have about 8 or 7 seconds to figure out, like, all right, who's our best chance to make some chaos happen and get a basket? And if they don't have the right guys out there, they just can't figure it out. But, you know, I thought about this before. It's like, even when Sabonis is out there, sometimes this happens, right? So maybe it is, you know, it's hard to, that's why it's so hard for me to pinpoint, like, why is this so random? But there has to be something to it. It happens almost every game.
I do wonder if it's because they only run one action, and because they were so used to it, they run the one action. Okay, if that fails, Oladipo get the ball, figure it out. And now they're not prepared for, okay, we have to constantly be moving and kind of, like, when you see some of the really good teams, it's, their first action fails and they run another action. I mean, the Warriors are a team that does that a lot, where they're like, they'll run something to run it to set up something else. Like, it, and I don't know whether it's lack of offensive creativity. You know, you're at this point in the season where, like, you can't just keep throwing new things at guys constantly because, you know, you're playing basketball every other day, basically, at this point. Like, it's hard just to, like, create new plays all of a sudden. You've got the factor in that you're adding in Matthews, you know, Sabonis has been hurt for a little bit. Turner's been hurt for a little bit here. I mean, there's all the other factors. And so, Maybe when it comes to playoffs, that's really what this matters, right? Right now, you're just sort of playing games to see if you can stay the three seed and maybe keep home court advantage. But maybe when it comes to playoff time, it's time to draw up more creative offensive concepts to try to, like, really throw teams off.
And if you go dead in the water for 6 to 8 minutes in a playoff game, you lose. That's the whole game. That's it.
Oh, I mean, was that game four of the Cavs series last year, right? Remember that? I mean, the last 6 minutes, they literally couldn't get a basket.
Yep.
And they still almost won it because they have good, they're still a really good defensive team. I mean, that's part of it. And part of it also is probably using their defense. They don't have that ability. The Oladipo is the steal that creates to a basket. That's always like a huge momentum flip. They don't quite have that ability either right now because of missing Oladipo. And so, I mean, it's, I know there's been kind of this talk that McMillan should be coach of the year, and yeah, maybe he should be, but he won't get it because going to Bud. But there maybe needs to be some offensive, some more offensive creativity, and that kind of falls on him to kind of come up with that at the end of the day. It's like, can he create some kind of sets that where you've got a bunch of different misdirections so that somebody can get open when you're struggling with 8 seconds off the shot clock instead of just watching Kojo dribble around a bunch of times to try to lay it in, or watching Thad Young back a guy up and throwing that short floater. I mean, that's the kind of plays I think you see most of the time.
I can't stand the attack the switch for 5 minutes. I mean, it kind of works, but it's like, this is.
Well, they don't have any guy who can really like exploit a switch except for maybe it's a bonus if you get a small guy in the post on him.
Yeah, I'm thinking about that.
Turner, maybe. I don't know if Turner does a good enough job, honestly.
He can kind of get by big men, but not really well.
No, it's 50-50, if not 30-70 on his will he get blocked at the rim or not.
Kind of is how I'll put that. But yeah, Sabonis is clearly the best at it. And that's like against the Knicks, that's how they handled that. Is like the Knicks would send two guys and they would just have a cutter come to the opposite elbow and there you go, you get points.
Well, right. I mean, it's right. It's using your first action to set up your second action. That could. And that's the thing you didn't have to worry about, you know, Oladipo. You didn't have to worry about that because.
Are you a scout? That was well said, Adam.
I don't know. I feel like I haven't said a lot of things well this podcast, but that was like the first thing I actually said.
No, you're rusty. Your once a week now is rusty.
Hey, it took me about 10 minutes, but I'm back in it. But no, I mean, Oladipo, right, his thing, like you said, is that he can just beat anybody off the dribble. And that's when you, any team, when you have that kind of top level star player, that's what makes them so good, is that you can just give them the ball and tell them to make shit happen, essentially.
It's so interesting this season where, like, they have nine guys who play such a defined role that with almost every single player, you know, you don't realize what they're actually adding in that role in terms of value until they're injured and out of the game. And then you're like, oh my God, like they need Vic for this and they need Miles for this and Sabonis for this. And even sometimes they need Tyreek. It's like, it's crazy.
No, it truly is.
So crazy. That's not related to anything you just said. I was just thinking out loud.
No, but it shows how well this team was constructed.
Yep.
But also it shows the flaw that as soon as you pull out, it's like a, what's that game, Django, where you pull out the wrong block, the whole thing collapses. So it's both sides of it, right? Because if everybody's healthy, this team might have 50 wins at this moment. They might be heading towards maybe even the 2-seed competition. Instead, it's like, okay, never mind. This team is kind of not cratering, the right word, but slowly just kind of falling down.
Yeah, I'm with you. They're not even falling to me. They're just like, meeting expectations is harder, so it feels worse, but it's like, it is what it is.
Yeah, so I mean, it's worth noting they're going to probably beat their over-under, right?
Yeah, they probably will.
I mean, they got to learn four more times.
What are they right now? They're at 70 games, right?
Yeah, they're
69.
Are they 44-25 or 44-26?
Where did it go? I just had it right.
They're 44-26.
So in two more games, they'll have played half of the season without Vic. That's crazy.
And the fact that they won four, I mean, that's
44. That's crazy.
So is that coaching? Is that depth of the roster? Or
it's everything. It's all of it.
Yeah, I want to say it's actually just the depth of the players, and that's what I lean towards it being the bigger factor.
Crediting everybody. I can't credit one group. I'm not. That's not fair.
Well, I mean, it just when you've got. I mean, the Pacers have sort of figured that too often ago where they found a undervalued part of the NBA free agent market where that was veteran players
who are
like just under 30, but are going to pass that 30 who can add value to your team to win games, but aren't going to like push you to the max, and they cost relatively inexpensive. I mean, we're talking $10 million. You can accumulate like five of those guys with the way the cap has been exploding. And they did that with Thad, keeping Thad, Bojan, Collison. I mean, even maybe
Tyreek even technically fits that mold.
But yeah, I mean, it's these players that are, I mean, even Kojo, these guys who
make,
let's say between 8 and 12, you can just you can add like six of those guys if you don't have a super expensive salary at the top, essentially.
Yeah. Kojo is really struggling.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like a topic because he only shoots like four shots a game. So I'm not like frightened that he is missing so much, but he is in a slump, man.
So at this
point, five games, he is shooting 17.9% from the field.
So at this point, would you rather resign Kojo or Collison?
Holy crap, that's terrible. Last 10 games, he's shooting 34% from the field.
At this point, would you rather Kojo or Collison?
I don't know, man.
I mean, Kojo, is he getting a 3 or 4 year deal from somebody?
I like Kojo. He still is a valuable player, but like this happened last year too, where he started off hotter than he finished.
Could you get Collison? What's the max? You don't have his bird rights, right?
Yeah, they have early bird, so they can sign him for up to 175% of his current salary, or up to 190% actually.
So do they just offer him like $15 million for 1 year to come back?
That would not surprise me.
Right, because they wait till after the cap. Well, his cap was like 12.5, isn't it?
Yeah, the scary punt there is if you do that, you're not extending Sabonis, because then if you do both, you're done in free agency the following year. Like, it's just over. So,
well, I don't think you're worried about free agency the following year.
Well, you have to. If you are punting a 1 year deal on Collison, then you're counting on getting a point guard the next year, right?
Or do you have Holiday? You're betting on Holiday
becoming a starter. Ooh, that's a different bet. That's interesting.
Well, right? I mean, you're betting on – I mean, that's what you're betting on. Maybe you're betting on bringing Collison back again. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a scary bet to me.
Yeah. Well, sometimes when you're a smart, you have to take a chance, right? Yeah. Plus, I mean, it's a good transition. You have
to take a chance with Ed, too, eventually.
Go ahead. We sure they're supposed to be on the roster next year?
No, we're not sure.
Right? So, I mean, that's the last topic we should probably talk about before we preview the week.
We're not making decisions, man. We'll talk about
we're not doing decisions. We should talk about the Sabonis versus Turner factor, because the way Miles has played since he got back from his injury has been garbage.
No, bad is wrong. He's struggling to put the ball in basket. He's doing okay.
I think garbage is the right word.
I don't, because defense is still a thing that happens in basketball, and he's very good at that.
Offensively, he's been garbage.
Yes, I
30. So I'm gonna read his stat line.
No. Let's take a break first.
No, we're gonna do it. We got 4 games.
Oh yeah, okay.
All right. So we'll do
since the All-Star break, 35.6% from the field.
Yep, 31% from three.
Yuck. 32.
Oh, you're rounding up. 31.6.
Rebounding better than it was early in the year. Still, 7 a game is fine for what he does. Killing the D still, but that is really rough on offense. And he's doing that thing again. Mark Monteith gets all the credit for this, where he, like, you can tell when the way he like jumps and lands what type of shot he's shooting if it's going in. And he's doing it with that, where he lands like the tiniest bit behind where he takes off from, and then he misses just like the tiniest bit short. It's like, why does this happen?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it might be an injury, to be honest.
Right? Yeah, he was hurt.
But the thing with Turner, though, isn't this now like he's just injury prone? I mean, he's been hurt
so much.
He's had like 6 different injuries over the past 2 years. I mean, I can't name him. I think he's hurt, torn, sprained, whatever you want to call it. Concussed. I mean, it's no longer a thing that's like, oh, it's just a freak injury. It's like, oh, he just is injury prone, essentially.
Centers miss like 10 games a year. Like, that's just a thing that happens.
But that's what I mean. That's why, like, he can't. But like, he's constantly, part of him isn't 100%. That's just, he has to play that way constantly.
It's a bummer.
Yeah. I mean, so then look at this. Sabonis' last 10 games on the opposite.
Flames.
15.1 points, 8.7 rebounds, 58%. And
he's crushing it.
33%, but that's he took like 2 threes.
So. He stunk against the Knicks, which is funny because the Knicks had no answer for him for 3 straight games, and then he was so good against the Thunder, like so good against the Thunder.
Well, and I think he's revived some of that, what we call the first 25 games Sabonis, where he was just
unstoppable,
and then he hit this kind of run where we don't know what happened. But like, if you just look at his stat line, it's looking at
he
like
was still very good. He was just worse than he was the first 25 games.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how polished he is on the offensive end, and I get defensively Turner's got him beat by Miles, but I mean, the question, my thought is Sabonis going to get more money than Turner? And ultimately,
they should just sub every time, every possession.
Well, and that's a problem. I mean, we talked about it for the podcast, but like, ultimately, to make your top five better, which is all that matters in the playoffs, you have to make your top six worse, right? You got to move one of them ultimately. And I don't know what the answer is.
Unless they work together next year. But that's,
I think they won't even try it this year. And this was the year to try it. If they don't try this year, when are they?
You can't bench that for them.
No. I mean, in terms of contractually, this was the right year to try it because they have that 1 year offensive bonus and stuff like that kind of thing on his rookie deal.
No, I do not think this is the year to try it. I think next year is the year to try it.
Yeah, but next year, if it doesn't work, aren't you just going to get stuck with both of them?
No, you can trade one of them at the trade deadline.
But you have to extend Sabonis.
No, you don't.
So what, you don't?
Yeah, but you're going to extend Sabonis.
Well, because this, I guess it would make sense, right? Why would you not want to leave Sabonis a year without extending him if you want to keep him. Then you're basically saying
you have restricted free agency and you can keep him no matter what.
I don't know. I thought contractually this was the year to try it.
There's no risk of losing him. If you really want to keep him, you just keep him.
Well, but aren't you worried that if you don't extend him, like you said, Miles early, that he's going to be pissed?
No.
He's going to be grumpy all year, and then you're going to be forced to trade him because he's not going to be happy here anymore because he's not going to feel like he's wanted. Versus this year, you try and figure out.
The type of guy he is, he loves his teammates, and his role is well suited for him. If his agent's pissed, then sure, that makes sense to me. But if he's pissed, I'd be shocked.
Remember when Gordon Hayward spited the Jazz? They didn't give him a 4-year deal and left for Boston. Remember that?
Yeah, that was in restricted free agency, not an extension.
I don't know. I mean, I think I worry that Sabonis expects to get extended and offered the Miles Turner deal.
I don't know why he would expect to get it. Like, what, like five rookies got extensions last year? Five rookie extensions last year? They were so rare. Even for good players, they're rare.
I mean, maybe not Simon, but expect to get the offer. I mean, right? I mean, he's putting up.
Yeah, I mean, and he should expect that offer to be a low ball, reasonable offer because that's what rookie extensions are supposed to be. And then that's it. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, but do you think they're even going to offer him something next year if they can't? Then they can't.
Yeah, use they'd be stupid not to offer him something.
Yeah, I don't know. So then, but then, aren't you at a point where you're better off?
You offer him 4 for 50. He says no, and then you go into the year. That's it. Like that's it.
That's insulting.
Yeah, that's how rookie extensions should. That's why the Miles one I thought sucked at the time because it's like, unless you really think he's going to gain his value by so much, I don't know why you extend the guy. Because rookie extensions, there's like, unless you're getting a bargain, there's so little point in incentive for the team to do it.
Well, no, the incentive is to make the guy happy that's going to be part of your franchise for this somebody next year.
We're going to pay you whatever it takes from restricted free agency. How does that not make them happy?
Because
we'll pay you whatever it takes next year. Prove it this year. That's it. That if that makes them pissed, then they're not the right guy. If you can't prove it, then what are you?
So I'll tell you why. Because it makes him play 1 year on a contract worth what, $3.5 million versus $8 million.
They'd have to have that anyway.
But they have the 9-figure guarantee or $8 million. Miles makes $72 million.
Then accept the contract.
Not when you're lowballing them. I think you do it.
Then play better.
Yeah, but this whole we're in this whole NBA era where you're about, I guess, not pissing off your own good players so they want to leave. Right. That's the whole.
But not offering extension pisses nobody off.
I do think it will bother Sabonis if he doesn't get a
Turner offer. There's never been a story about a rookie not being mad about getting a rookie extension. Veteran extensions, yeah, that happens. But like rookies have no power.
Yeah, because every good rookie gets extended. If you're a really good rookie,
you get extended. Some good rookies just didn't get extended.
What do you mean? Let's see. Towns got extended a year early. Book got extended a year early.
NBA draft. Yeah, the superstars all get the supermax. There's no discussion there.
Yeah, but you not think I mean, I guess Capella didn't get extended early. He'd be one of the guys.
D'Angelo Russell, no extension. Kristaps Porzingis, no extension. Who else was even getting this draft? Justice Winslow, no extension. Devin Booker, the other max guy. Terry Rozier, who was actually good last year, probably should have taken that extension. Didn't get an extension. You know, all the good players just didn't get it.
So Kristaps, they probably got offered it and said no. Again, like they want to be in New York. So let's
yeah, because they probably said, hey, you're injured, we're not offering you the max right now. If you get healthy and you're good, we'll give you the max. And then he was pissed about that.
Who was the other guy you named? Justice Winslow. He's better than Winslow.
Who?
By far. Sabonis.
Not by far, but he's better. Yeah. Still, Sabonis, you haven't heard anything about Justice Winslow being pissed about not getting a rookie extension offer?
I think you risk pissing off Sabonis. I really think you do.
Young guys have any business being pissed about that.
Yeah, they don't feel wanted. I mean,
be good. If you're good, you'll be wanted, and he's good, and that's why they want to keep him.
So, but like, he's been good. So what is he supposed to do differently? Just do 2 years? I mean, he's been good for 2 years now, give or take.
Here's an extension offer we are willing to give you to the team that we think you are comfortably worth. We will discuss this, but we will not overpay you because we'll think you'll get better. That's stupid, risky business.
I mean,
that's ended up like the Timberwolves with D'Angelo Russell with Andrew Wiggins making a
that's a tough situation
because the Wizards with Otto, you know, like
you pay a guy for what he's worth. No, the Otto thing is because they got screwed in restricted free agency, actually.
Yeah, they offered it. They didn't offer him a rookie extension.
He probably should have. They got screwed there.
He sucked that year. He's terrible after his third year.
It's a bonus. I'm just saying from what I look at is Sabonis doesn't get offered 4 years, 72, which. It seems like why would you if you pay him and you tie up hit you can't trade him for a year, right? That's the rule.
They could, but there's like the funkiest rules that make it so hard to do.
Right. So then you tie him up for a year if he accepts that deal, which he might accept the same deal as a Turner. And so then you risk saying, okay, well, then next year is the year you have to prove yourself because we're going to pick you. I mean, basically saying we're picking you or Turner.
They have to trade Turner because they could not trade Sabonis.
Right? So that's why this was the year, right? Because then if they could trade him at the trade deadline.
No, because they don't have to extend him.
But so if they don't extend – if this was the year because next year there's too many different pitfalls in the way when they have to trade him at the trade deadline. They can't trade him in the offseason because they have to extend him and whatever it is. There's so many different little roadblocks where it pushes it from – where if they knew this year they could play together, they could make the offer. They could figure out the summer. Now they're just still stuck in this limbo.
Than both of them.
I mean, I'm not saying they actually should have played this year because clearly Fad has been really good. But this was the year to figure out whether they should have played, whether they could play together or not.
Contractually, maybe, but like using all the facts of the team, it definitely was not this year.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Contract. That's what I was kind of saying.
You can't base your basketball decisions on the contracts of your players. You gotta be the best team you can be every year.
I mean, that's kind of how the game works, Tony.
No. Crappy teams tank and they meet the salary floor and that's the only contract thing they have. And good teams pay the luxury tax because they have a luxury of a team and everyone else tries to make the best team they can. That's how it goes.
You pay the players to contracts to hope to build the team. I mean, it's sort of you sort of base your future on players' contracts. You hope to get a good deal on guys' contract based on the future. I mean, this is the whole game.
I agree that they're very important. I don't think they should be the reason you exile a very good basketball player. Oh, we're meant to play this guy in 2 years, Thad. So we're going to
even play Turner's bonus, like, any, except for the OKC game, significantly important minutes ever.
Anywhere. Yeah, they only give him like 5 to 10 a game. I don't think they're getting enough, but I don't think this was the year to
giving them 5 to 10 a game at like the most like non-consequential moments.
It's always the first second quarter, yeah. Yeah, because Thad's clearly the best closer of the post game.
Yeah, I mean,
by a mile.
To me, it just felt like they should have tried it. They should try it more this year because ultimately, right, you have to pick one.
I think they should have played more minutes this year. I don't think it should have been anything like a closing lineup very often unless the situation merits it.
I just feel like they got more four-quarter minutes. Now, maybe not closing minutes, but maybe the 10.
And the playoffs are really tight this year. If they can't even go to it in the playoffs, then like, what the hell is the point?
That's fair. I mean, that's where you might have to figure it out, right, ultimately, if they can't even play.
If you can't, especially like the Celtics who play Gordon Hayward and Tatum and Marcus Morris at the four, it's like, this is it. This is what you're saying is if we're going with two bigs, we expect them to play against small ball four sometimes. You know, if you're not willing to try it in the playoffs, then why the hell are you even trying it at all?
Well, and it just felt like to me before the year, they're making it a concerted effort to say we're going to try doing this, and they haven't really tried it. That's also part of it to me.
They did talk about that. That is true.
The idea was you try it 5 to 10 1 year, then you up it next year. I mean, maybe that's the move, right? You give it a year to work together to figure out. You can watch more tape on it. You can watch a little and see where it worked and didn't work, and then figure
out. Maybe here's how it'll progress. It'll be like they were good every minute without Lance, and then they were good, and then they, you know, all right, let's go for it. And then if it's not good enough, it's not good enough. But there are the roadblocks with the contracts, but I don't think that you can make that be the basis for your decision.
Okay, but like, so at this very moment, if they said next year we're going to start Sabonis and Turner, would you be okay with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Together, you feel comfortable that lineup being what? How many wins you get?
I think I'd be okay. If they sign another four, even if he's like a good bench player, I'd be more okay.
So they sign Mirotić to play him off the bench.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, go for that.
So you're okay with that?
Yeah.
What if you re-signed that and put him on the bench?
Ooh.
That's a little weird, right? Why would you do that?
Yeah, that would be weird. that optics of that would be too weird. Plus, they'd have to tell Thad before they signed him, and he would not sign here if that happened.
Maybe.
Mirotić is a good guy, though. That's like about the level of guy that makes sense for that. Hey, you're our sixth man. You're going to come in and stress for.
I mean, I just – the problem is there's so many different – like you look at all like the NBA stats, whatever, and it's just so much kind of bullshit. Like there's no way to really – piece through the sets of what the lineup together really means.
It's bizarre because they're the opposite of what we all expected. It's like, they're fit on offense, makes a lot of sense. One can be around the basket and one can space the floor. And then on defense, it's kind of awkward because one has to defend its space, but their defense is so good and their offense is so bad. It makes no sense.
Some of that could just be Turner's up and down offensive play all the time. Right?
I guess.
I mean, it's just like,
but their defense is so good that it's like his defense also is the carrying factor there.
No, I just mean like Turner to me sometimes when he plays with players he's not used to feels awkward out there offensively.
Like I don't know about that. Who's he not used to? This is the same team as last year.
Well, no, I mean, when you watch him with like Aaron Holiday, sometimes you can kind of see it.
That's, I'm going to blame the rookie there, not the 4 year.
No, that's also a profit. I'm just saying Turner also has this weird stutter where he just is bad at offense, and it could just overlap weirdly.
Like right now.
Well, and it could overlap weirdly with Sabonis. Who knows? I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah. It just seems like it should be kind of simple, given their strengths.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it took probably 2 months for everybody to respect Turner's three-point shot, right? Nobody respected it for a while.
Yeah, they still don't.
Also,
they still really don't.
Yeah, so that screws everything up, essentially.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
We've been talking about this for a while.
Yeah, no, we can move on. I just think we haven't talked about the Sabonis Turner thing in a while. I thought it was worth talking about, was all.
Especially when one's playing really good and one's playing not very good.
Well, essentially, it is still the biggest storyline with the Pacers team.
It will definitely be in the summer.
I mean, it's still the biggest thing going forward.
No, not right now. I don't think it is.
I mean, I think it is. At this point, with what's left, this is a big storyline still. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about this week's games. All right, welcome back into Locked On Pacers podcast. So, Tony, the rest of the West Coast swing, plus another game against Denver to end this week. So we got a long, tough week.
10:30, right? Two nights in a row, kill me.
I mean, we're also talking about four games against playoff teams.
Yep.
And they'll end up being seven in a row against playoff teams.
Tough week. Although, the first game, I was kind of hoping you would ask the question so I could cut you off. But we shouldn't read the Blazers' numbers, Adam, because their second best player is not going to play.
Yeah, so do we know what happened with McCollum? I know he hurt his leg.
CJ McCollum, it got announced. It's not bad. It's like something he can return from in a few weeks. But CJ McCollum is out with a leg injury, which looked worse than it turned out to be.
So who's going to start in his place? I'm trying to.
They haven't played a game yet. So
yeah, would it be Turner? Would Evan Turner step in?
Evan Turner or Jake Layman, probably.
Okay.
Maybe Rodney Hood. He's actually been okay for them.
Yeah, I feel like so. It depends if they want to keep their bench because isn't Turner. Yeah. Their leader of their bench.
I bet it's going to be Seth Curry.
Yeah, that's the other guy I was thinking.
Oh, they actually have pretty good guards. It's a shame that they suck at every other position.
Oh, they're so bad.
Nurkic is really good this year, but the rest of their players are.
They're so bad at the forward spots. I mean, they're just.
Yeah, very bad.
That's why they were like on their knees begging for Paul George to come there.
They could have been really freaking good.
I mean, if they had gotten Paul George, if they could get like a Paul George or Kawhi, they might be NBA champions.
Yeah, Dame is sick. And also. So here's the worrying part about the Blazers is Dame is currently in the middle of that stretch that he has every year. He's just like, hey,
his after the All-Star break stretch where he's going to like 7,500 points.
Hey, by the way, I'm a top 10 player in the NBA. Don't forget.
Like, by the way, I'm like just a notch below James Harden, Steph Curry level guard.
He had 51 last week. He's just a baller, man. Dame is so good.
So post All-Star break, I'll just look up his stats real fast.
I got him on me.
Okay.
You clicked the wrong date.
Okay, 25.2, 45%, 35%. So not like overpowering,
yeah,
but
yeah. Wow.
That 51 really just looks awesome.
It is awesome.
They lost that game though.
Yeah, they did. The Thunder, that was overtime, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, because he played 47 minutes. So like no way he played 47 minutes in a regular season game.
I love Dame. It's so impossible to not like Dame.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy who's been playing in Portland his entire career.
He'll probably be one of their best players ever when it's all said and done. But yeah, it's hard for me to like think about them without him, if that makes any sense. Because without CJ, I mean, because
yeah, okay,
like he's so good. Like playing off of Dame, they have a lot of guys who can do that. But it's like he is so good at playing off of Dame that I don't know how much that changes what they do.
I mean, I think we talked about this before, but aren't McCollum and Lillard, if they were in the Eastern Conference, probably would win the East this year?
No, they'd be third.
You think they wouldn't beat the Bucks?
They'd be worse. Oh, the Bucks. What about the Bucks are better than the Raptors, and I don't think they're better than the Raptors.
See, I don't know. I feel like Lillard and McCollum are the second best guard duo in the NBA, just behind Curry and Klay, and that's a whole nother monster. But like, they're that level.
I don't know. They're very good, but their forwards are terrible.
Like, yeah, but those two guys, I mean, are just.
They are.
I mean, they're an underrated duo because they play in a conference where they're overshadowed by the best
the guard duo of all time. It's like a three-game maybe difference over the course of the season. Like,
no, it's not about win. It's about how far you go in the playoffs. I mean, this team makes these conference finals over the last 5 years two or three times probably.
I don't know about that. They're never better than LeBron's team.
No, they made the Eastern Conference Finals. They play LeBron.
Are they ever better than like the IT Celtics or like –
they're as good as those IT Celtics.
Lowry DeRozan's is as good as them, basically.
So John Wall and Bradley Beal's Wizards almost beat the Celtics, was it 2 years ago?
They were nasty that year, those two were.
Yeah, isn't Lillard nasty every year?
Yeah, Wall was better than Lillard that year. He made All-NBA.
I don't know about that one.
Remember? He made All-NBA. There is no remembering to do.
Yeah, but I feel like
they might have made it 2 days.
Yeah, I don't remember. You're now we're talking 2 years back. I don't know. Lillard's
let's fire it up.
It doesn't matter that really that much to what we're talking about at the end of the day.
No, it doesn't.
Did you read their stats?
I tried to tell you they don't matter because they don't have CJ.
Oh, that's right.
Whole different team. Whole different team. 2016-17. Yes, Dame did not make it, and John Wall did.
Okay. But
nailed it.
Wasn't Dame? Dame is still, I think, a better player than Wall. I mean, he's a better
player. Yeah, he has been since by a million miles. Uncomparable.
Was that the year that they lost to the Warriors? The Blazers?
They probably lose to them a lot. I don't remember who Portland lost to that year.
I think they beat the Clippers that year and then lost to the Warriors. 2015-16?
16-17.
Oh, no. They got swept.
They lost in the
first Rockets, round. Right? The Rockets swept them, I think, in the first round.
Dame's
no, Golden State swept him. Sorry.
Dame's got a problem getting swept in the first round.
It's never his fault, though.
No, it's not.
His team. His team
just trap him like crazy. It's like Vic, basically. So the Blazers' problem is their bench is not very good. Like, yeah. Rodney Hood was a huge deal for them because he's, like, substantially better than the other guys they have on the bench. But the thing that is in their favor is one of their bench players is a Pacers killer. That's Enes Kanter, who just kills the Pacers every time they play. Because he's such
does a good he really though? I don't know.
Oh, he's such a good rebounder against the Pacers. I guess everybody gets good rebounds.
But I feel like I feel like with Enid, it's a lot of times he just throws a brick after brick and gets like a four rebound off of four missed shots.
Hey man, it's all one possession.
Yeah, so he's
2 points on one possession.
He's playing like almost 19 minutes a game. He's probably gonna match up to Sabonis, right?
A good backup center. Yeah, Sabonis will kill him on the offense defense matchup. But
just remember, Sabonis is the Nick killer.
Is the Nick killer, except for this last week. And Jake Layman plays the second most minutes for them off the bench. You know, their bench is not very good. So that's where you got to win the minutes because Dame's going to kill you.
Yeah.
And Nurkic is a boss this year, like unbelievably good for them.
So this is a low-key Wes Matthews revenge game, Nate Millen revenge game too, and Kevin Pritchard revenge game.
Yeah, it is. It's a big time. They have another former Blazer, don't they? Am I crazy?
Who, the Pacers?
Man.
Not that I can think of on their roster.
Now now I got to go up and down the roster and realize that I'm wrong. Damn it.
Yeah, I don't think of anybody else.
There's nobody. I'm wrong. Oh, today is the five. This is unrelated. I just remembered seeing the tweet. Today is the 5-year anniversary of the Doug McDermott Sports Illustrated cover where they recreated the Larry Bird thing. Remember that? With the cheerleaders?
Yes. Now, yeah. Of course. I mean, we should say today was March Madness, and your team, IU, did not make the tournament.
Shocking they enough. Should not have made the tournament. They're a terrible basketball team.
They lost 15 games, of course.
That's it. Period. Statement. You lose 15, you don't make it. I don't care. I hate when someone's talking to me and they say they have quad one wins. Like, what the hell is a quad one win? They lost 15 games.
Yeah.
The whole thing. That's it.
Right. My Syracuse team is the 8 seed, so they're not going to go very far.
8? Either. What's their 1 seed if they win?
Gonzaga. So maybe
the worst one. The worst one. There it is. That's good.
That's good. But back to NBA basketball. Do you think the Pacers win this game?
Without CJ, they actually have a chance because it's like Lillard and Nurkic on the pick and roll is the offense, and that's it. But I don't know. I actually don't know.
Yeah.
They do not have a guy who can like credibly guard Bojan. Aminu and Harkless are both okay, but I think the Pacers could be able to score pretty well.
Yeah, this is going to be a pretty important game because it's a back-to-back for the Pacers.
Yep.
And I assume the Clippers are on a back-to-back. I haven't actually checked that. But
I will let you know, Adam.
They are not.
They are not.
They play Brooklyn right now as we're talking. They are playing. Ooh. If they don't beat Portland, this could easily turn into a 5-game losing streak or 6 pretty fast. Yeah. I mean, we're talking actually 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7-game losing streak, right? If they go lose the next...
Someone sent their schedule from like Denver to Orlando to me and said, what's a successful run of the schedule? I said 3 wins.
Yeah.
With Gary Cook. Big fan of the pod, Gary.
I think you have to count Oklahoma City to Orlando.
That's fine.
Still,
3 wins in that stretch would be a big success to me.
But I do think this is a winnable game now. I mean,
I agree. I think they have 3 winnable games this week.
Are the Warriors going to start not trying?
The Warriors are their non-winnable game, Adam.
I know. They do hang around in most games against most teams. I mean, that's just their.
They beat the Warriors in Golden State last year, but like no one played.
Not a single starter played.
The Butcher is Dame. Like that's over. That's the whole discussion.
Yeah.
And you have to. You just have to. You know, you got to beat their forwards. We said they're not very good.
So Thad and Bojan, right?
Thad and Bojan got to be good.
And McDermott off the bench.
It's on the road, so we know he's going to be good.
Fair point.
That's still the strangest thing ever.
All right, give me gut decision, win or lose.
I'll go loss, small loss.
I think they win this one. This is one I think they win.
Nice. Well, I'm always wrong, so they are gonna win.
Well, so am I. So one must be right for once.
Congratulations! I got one right last week.
The Knicks. Everybody, the Knicks.
Right. I got the Knicks right.
All right. The next game they play is against the Los Angeles Clippers. Do you got their sets up?
I do. I got all of them up. They beat the Clippers, but that was right after they like charaded their entire team and had like 9 healthy players. Clippers are 10th in offense and 19th in defense. And they're getting good play from a whole cast of guys. They're like the Pacers. They are very deep. They probably have like 12 quality NBA players. So should be a good one.
Yeah. Danilo Gallinari has been my fantasy killer. Not for me, the team I'm playing this week. So, I mean,
I wonder if I won in the playoffs. I haven't looked all weekend.
This team is kind of a combination of you got some of the old Pistons players. You got some of the Philadelphia players. You got some of Houston players.
I don't have any of the Detroit guys anymore. Avery Bradley's in Memphis.
Oh, yeah. So really, it's a combination of Houston draft picks and Pistons, 76ers guys, right? Because you got Shamit and you got Wilson Chandler, and then you got Harrell used to be a Rocket, right? Or no,
yep.
Harrell Draft.
Montrezl was a Rocket, yep.
And so was Patrick
Beverly, and there's a third one, I think. Maybe I'm wrong there.
No, I think that's it.
No, and Bamute was a Rocket last year.
Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't in the trade. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm just
Lou Williams also used to be a Rocket.
That's true. The ones that used to be
crazy. Yeah.
They're quite the Rocket. It looks like, I don't know, is Bamute gonna play? Is he playing?
No, he's been hurt all year. He's out.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean,
well, he started practice on Friday, but I don't know
if he'll play again this year.
You don't think he'll play in the playoffs?
I don't know why he would. I mean, was he like the 10th best player?
That's true. I mean, he started practicing. That's why I was confused why he started.
They play like Shamit, pretty big minutes. Like the second most of anyone on the team.
Yeah, he played 27 in the last game.
He's done a very good job for them. Very good job for them.
Yeah, that was a bad. He was kind of just a dump, wasn't he? You would assume, like,
yeah, kind of.
No, or they were gonna make a break the trade on Landry.
A middling asset, but yeah.
Wow, I wonder if it's like this. You got to the last minute and fill in LA said they wanted Shamit. So it's like, what are we going to blow this Tobias trade over Landry Shamit?
Landry Shamit is shooting 31.4% on twos in LA and it's still been good. That's how good he's shooting from three.
So remember when the Pacers brought him in and could have. Where did Shamit get drafted? Where did anybody drafted?
Post Pacers pick, like 27.
All right. I don't know. Would he be a better. Is he a better pick than.
Love Shamit. You can attest, I love Shamit.
I know, but is he a better pick? I guess he's certainly playing more
minutes. Right now, it's probably looking like that, but it's year one.
Yeah, you don't know.
Yeah, they have a lot of good guards between Shamit and Gallo's kind of a wing, but like Patrick Beverly, Lou Williams are all pretty good players. Gary Temple's a pretty good player. And Lou's going to score as many points as he wants, so yeah, they're a tough team to defend.
Yeah, I would say Lou is probably the Butcher, actually.
Sweet Lou, one of my favorite players ever, Sweet Lou Williams. Dude's been is Sweet Lou Williams the dream for Sabonis? You get this stud player at a position who's like, yeah, I'll come up the bench and dominate for half the game.
Yeah, but isn't Lou Williams like he's just different? Like Sabonis is 23 years old.
I know he's so unique. Like his whole career, Lou's been like, yeah, whatever.
Well, and Sabonis has the fact that his father was like a star basketball player, and maybe he wants to be the star. And like we still don't know what an unleashed Sabonis looks like.
Can I get out in front of something?
Yeah, go ahead. What do you need to do?
I know that we all like the cute, like, oh, Sabonis are sixth man of the year. He's not going to win. Lou Williams is going to win. He's the best player off the bench in the entire NBA. That's it. That's the whole thing. Done.
Yeah. I agree. Done.
He's going to win.
But I will tell you that Sabonis' per 36 numbers are off the chart. And
very good.
We have not seen it on
the chart. Nor Lou will, because he only plays 26 minutes a game.
So what a lose.
I got him up. Oh my God. I hate Basketball Reference. It's hard to scroll.
27 points.
27.6 points per game, points per 36. 7.2 assists, dude, is a baller, dude. He's so good.
So bonuses per 36 are only 20 and 13. So just, yeah, just, you know, a shabby 20 and 13.
Yeah, they're both clearly in the top like three of that award. Like they're
so,
growing.
So what I love is that it's per 36, but can you name one NBA player outside Jimmy Butler who plays 36 minutes per game? Maybe James Harden. I think it's like the two, right?
Everyone who Tibbs coaches, James Harden, and that's it.
Right. I mean, nobody plays 30. I mean, if you play 36 minutes a game right now, you're coaching an idiot.
30 would be like more realistic. Like if you were a starter, what would your stats typically be?
Or per 32. I mean, that's what that, obviously, yeah, the average star plays. I mean, that's what Oladipo played. I wonder what Giannis plays, I guess. But I mean, it's
so dumb that it's per 36. Either make it per 48 or make it like per one.
Well, I guess the per 36 translates to the playoffs, because in the playoffs, you play 36 to 40.
But the other thing is, like, no one plays 36. If you could put up that production over a longer period of time, your team would play you that amount of time.
That's why Harden's playing that kind of minutes.
Yeah, right? That's why Harden actually plays 36 minutes, because he can put up that kind of
production for 36 minutes.
Number for 36 minutes.
So Giannis is down to 33 after being at 36.7 last year.
Smart, yeah, we're drifting away from the Clippers. They smoked them earlier, but that game doesn't really help because they traded half their team. Montrezl and Lou are both really good off the bench, so you're not going to win the bench minutes for once. You're going to have to find a way to score on like Patrick Beverley, which is hard to do.
I think Gallinari is a decent
– Gallinari's good on both ends. Good player.
Yeah, I just mean he's not going to blow by, but that might be the right way to put it.
They're very similar guys.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how they match up. Let's put it that way.
I think your best chance of getting points is whoever Shamit's guarding, just throw them the ball and do something.
Wait, I got one for you. Is Bojan's best future becoming kind of the Gallinari of his 30s?
Gallo was awesome on the Nuggets.
Man. No, I know, but we never – Sabonis – or not Sabonis. But Bojan was never in the NBA as young as Gallinari was, right? Gallinari gave
them – they're probably the same age right now.
Oh, they are the same? No, really?
Gallo's 30, yeah.
Oh, I always thought Gallo was like in like 32 or 33 at this point. He just feels like maybe his knees are that old.
Yeah, really. He gets hurt every year. He's a good player. I love Gallo.
Yeah, no, I just always – why do I always think he was older than he is? I don't know why I thought that.
He's been on for a long time, hasn't he? He was on the Knicks for forever and then the Nuggets for forever.
Yeah, when he was 20, so that's probably part of it. So maybe that is Sabonis's – or not Sabonis, Bojan's best. I mean, look at Gallo's stats last year. I know only 21 games, but they're similar to what Bojan's are.
Yeah. Like
totals.
Yeah, they're a deep team, and their bench is better effectiveness than their starters, so should be good.
Yeah, so I would say if it wasn't a back-to-back, they should win this game, I think. But the back-to-back,
I agree.
But then again, they tend to do well in back-to-backs most of the time.
Yep.
But I worry because that the tired legs leads to dead offense, which they're having problems with, which leads to like a really bad 15-minute stretch where they score like only 20 points.
Yeah. If that happens this game, they'll lose because the Clippers are pretty consistent. Doc Rivers is doing a great job.
Yeah. Is he ahead of Nate Mullen, Coach of the Year?
Yeah, probably. He's probably in the top three.
Him, but Bud, and Nate.
Him, Bud, and Nate, and Malone for Denver.
All right. That's a fair top four. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to preview the rest of the week. All right. Welcome back into Locked On Pacers podcast. So the Pacers got two more games this week, and they're probably the two toughest games of the week, right?
What is that? Oh, wow. I was looking at the NIT bracket, and I got an oral toothbrush ad from NTA.com. What riveting podcast content we got right here. The Warriors are really good, Adam.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks you for being really obvious.
They're actually struggling since the break. They're like 5-5 or something.
Tony, this team has won four of the last five NBA championships.
I'm not saying they're like
– They have – two of the top three players in the NBA. They have four of the top 25 players in the league.
They're Draymond kicking LeBron in the nuts away from a five, Pete.
Yeah, but does Kevin Durant go there? I don't want to do this.
That's true. If they don't lose, yeah. It's not worth the discussion. Yeah, it's not worth it. But you know what I'm saying. They're insanely good.
Yes, they're insanely good. Their
whole starting five is all stars. Like they're just
they have two guys averaging more than 27 points per game. That's like, I think it's only happened like once in NBA history.
Yeah, Draymond Green is like one of the best five defenders in the NBA, and he's like their second worst starter.
He's like their fifth best. No, he's their fourth best player.
He's their fourth best player. Yeah, he's great. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if they're not trying or caring, yeah, they could Pacers could win this game. But assuming that the Warriors are breathing, the Pacers don't win.
Yeah, but their injury report is slow. Like Andrew Bogut is their most likely to not play.
Durant got ankle contusion. He's day to day.
He'll be back. He's day to day. I imagine he'll be back. I don't know why they'd push him, but he sat out that Rockets game last week.
So I just want to just the Warriors are fun because they've got crazy stats. So if you had a guess, who has a higher effective field goal percentage, Steph Curry or Domantas Sabonis?
I don't know.
I mean, so one's a guard, one's a center. So one obviously usually gets higher, right?
Yeah, the center is easier to have a higher effective field goal percentage. So probably Domas, right?
But by 0.04%.
Really?
That's how close
they are. Yeah, like 61, 62, something like that.
Curry's at 60.1 and Sabonis at 60.5.
Yeah, being more efficient than Steph is crazy.
Well, I mean, it's easier, but that's crazy that Steph is as efficient as the Pacers.
I know. Dude, Steph's efficient shooting the hardest shots in basketball every game, too.
I know. It's just crazy stat that's how good this team is.
Yeah, Kevon Looney's got 61.7 effective field goal percentage. Like, this team is unfair.
It really is. Unfair, man. So, I mean, they are the top offensive team in the NBA.
Are they really? Yeah.
I mean, even though Durant actually is not shooting that great from three, they're still really good.
I have no qualms saying, like I'd pick them over the field probably in the playoffs, right? If no one gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would 9 out of 10 times I bet on that. I mean, there's the one time where Draymond
kicks somebody in the nuts.
Or there's the other time where, like, Steph Curry gets blindsided and hurts his ankle. And then I think it's actually pretty close because I don't know if – and then there's a KD, Kevin Durant blow up on each other and lose some stupid game 6 or 7 together.
Yep.
Right? I mean, if Steph was hurt for game 6 –
if you want a Pacers spin on the how good they are, root for them to win the title so KD's more inclined to not come to the Eastern Conference and stay instead.
No, because I actually rather him leave so that he's making somebody else can win a championship.
Well, you want him to come to the Knicks and kill the Pacers 4 times a year instead of 2?
Yeah, the Knicks are cursed, man. He'll find a way to screw up with them, let's be honest.
The Knicks aren't cursed. They've just had a really rough run of 15 years.
So let's say KD comes, but then, like, let's say Kyrie doesn't come. So then you're looking at KD and Zion. I mean, yeah, that's a good team, but is that, like, going to win the East every year? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. That'd sell hella tickets is what that would do.
Yeah. But I'm saying, who knows? I mean, that's not that great of a team.
I'll pay to be in the press room, man, for KD and Zion. That'd be so fun. Oh, man.
But so what do we give them? 10, 5, 1% chance of winning the Pacers?
5% chance.
5% chance. So
5% chance.
So in those five, so one of them they win just of those 5 out of 100 times. One of the times they win because they actually just play really well, right? The Pacers do. The other ones are injuries involved to players. Right?
No, I don't want to hedge that bet because then they'll win and everyone will be like, oh, you idiots. Thought it would take an injury.
No, we said 1 out of 100 times they'll win because of not injury-related instances.
Yeah, they have to shoot well from the outside. They just have to.
I mean, this is
the kind of game where – can't win 2 against 3 against
them. It's the kind of game where Aaron Hall has to have like 35 points. Where he's just pulling up from 25 green.
Finally remembers how to put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, so none of that is happening. So
they are going to lose.
I think Frank, we should just move on to the last game of the week, which is a retread of a game we talked about earlier, but with a really good game, so it's worth talking about again.
In Indy, it'll be a lot better, too. I mean, it was good this time anyway.
So, Tony, do you remember what happened last time they played the Nuggets at home?
47 from Vic.
47 from Vic. That was
Mayor of Indianapolis the next day. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Remember when you said Gary Harris was better than Oladipo at that point?
Before that season, I was very much sold on
Gary Before Harris. That podcast, you were very much sold on him.
I was. That was not smart.
And then Oladipo had 47 points, and that was probably the most fun I had on a podcast.
That was not smart of me to say that.
I mean,
well, I like Gary Harris, but yeah, Vic's.
No, I mean, Hyatt is 2020, but before the season. A lot
better than Gary Harris.
Yeah, Harris is a good NBA player, though.
He's not as good as Vic, but he's a good player.
Yeah, I mean, he's.
He's having a pretty down year, and he's still pretty good.
Was he the fourth option on that team, probably?
He's a good defense. He's there to play defense.
Right, but when he's out there, he's the fourth option, right? Yeah. He probably got Jokic, Murray, Millsap, then him.
Yeah, we just saw him take. He had their fifth most shots, didn't he? I think.
Well, Jokic didn't play the last. Well, I guess I was playing most of the game.
Jokic, Murray, and Millsap shot more, and then him and Barton shot the same. So, yeah, he's fourth or fifth.
Yeah. I mean, he's supposed to be a knockdown three-point shooter. I don't know about that anymore, but he's supposed to be like he's kind of supposed to be basically the version of Dumb and Dermot with a better defensive game, right?
Yeah. The Jokic is just so much of how good a lot of their players are. Like,
yeah,
the guys who play with him more just look awesome, and then, like, Monte Morris, Mason Plumlee, and Malik Beasley are like, all right, go cobble something together, guys.
Well, I'll tell you, Tony, I'm shocked that a star player can make other guys look good when you're on the court.
But Jokic is like a different tier of it because he's so skilled in everything.
Oh, he definitely, I mean, the tier above Vic. That's a
Like the way he makes guys look better is different than the way other guys make guys look better.
Well, yeah, because he's a 7 foot dude who can actually pass the ball. I mean, there aren't a lot of those in the NBA.
It's insane how good he is.
Yeah, I mean, how many guys over 6'10 are like that good at passing?
None. He's the best since Arvidas.
See, and that's the thing about Sabonis, right? If you unleash DeMontis, is that possible?
No.
You don't think that's ever possible?
I don't think he'll ever have Jokic good season. He can get up there, but not that.
You don't think he could shoot 30% from three on three attempts? I think he could.
Yeah, I don't think that he couldn't. The threes aren't the thing.
The seven assists, right?
Yeah, and it's like a lot of Sabonis is kind of like on the roll where like the defense is already moving, where Jokic like sets up guys by dribbling and doing stuff.
So, I mean, I'm going to look up. So, Sabonis is averaging 2 turnovers a game on 3 assists. I think Jokic is averaging 7 assists on about 3 turnovers.
3 or 3.5, yeah.
So, I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, he probably could never beat. Could he be a Jokic light, I guess?
I'll give you that.
Would you give him, like, if you gave him the bench? The problem is, I think you need really good players around Sabonis for him to be that kind of good of a passer. You need
good shooters around him.
Yeah, I do worry that you push the ball top the key, he just dribbles and somebody knocks the ball out of his hand or he gets called a foul, right?
Like his biggest flaw is like fouls and turnovers.
Well, and Sabonis' thing is, I don't think he has I don't know how to explain the type of game it is, but it's more of like a low down game where it's like being able to make plays like with his hands moving in the air above his head kind of thing. I don't know what you call that. You know what I mean? Where it's like Jokic can do that thing where he can like put the ball up at his head and kind of turn past a guy and float it in, where like Sabonis, everything you feel like it's at chest level when he shoots.
Yep. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know what the name of that is, to be honest, but that's the way it feels. I mean, we'll say that Turner did Eurostep Jokic though, so
he did.
Jokic is a pretty poor defender most of the time.
He is. It's a shame. He makes up for it, more than makes up for it. But
yeah, you think his thing is he needs like lose weight, Jokic, or get like more cut to be able to?
I don't know. I don't think it's kind of hard for him to get faster.
Maybe, yeah, but I feel like
I want to focus in more.
No, you're fine. I'm kind of rambling off the sides. You're good.
Paul Millsap killing you on the glass and with his defense cannot happen again if they want to win, because Paul Millsap was very good.
Yeah, and he took advantage of what was it? I mean, that was on him a little bit. I mean, he just
that had a great game too, though.
Yeah, but defensively, Millsap just bodied when it mattered. That shot to win the game, he just bodied into Thad, essentially.
Yeah, Millsap did a great job. He had a great game, and you got to, you know, you don't have the best player, you got to have the second best player, and they weren't even close because Millsap was good. So
yeah, I mean, did they have the top three players?
Thad was probably the third best player in that game, right?
Murray had 17. 3 and 3
on so 15 probably. Shots. It's close. Close.
Yeah, Thad had 18 on 15 shots. So.
Yeah, if we're going on points, then maybe. But I'm guessing Thad has to be closer to Millsap this time, and he is my X factor, by the way.
That was I mean Thad's defensive rating. It doesn't really. It was 118, which isn't great for it.
Ugh. I mean that's the team. That's the team with him there. But
yeah, I would say also part of it is they have to not lose Will Barton. That's a huge problem. I mean, this team has a lot with those 3-pointers. They just kind of lose them, and then they hit these weird 25-footers that just kill them. I mean, Terrence Ross did that. I mean,
Denver shot 28.9% from 3 and won the 3-point battle. That sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great game for the Pacers just overall.
No, it was not.
No, they never play well in Denver.
I think they can play better, and they'll be at home.
If they never play well
in Denver, I think they definitely can win that game.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, they never play well in Denver. I mean, I don't know if it's altitude or whatnot, but they just never play well there.
Nope, I agree.
And you got to get Wes Matthews more shots.
It's hard. He's only got one move.
Yeah. But you know where he was open at the end of that game?
Behind 3-point line.
He was right there, wide open, if Bowen just threw him the ball.
Ah, sorry.
So, gut level, win or lose this game?
Win. W. Okay.
Oh, did they go 2-2 in the week?
I'll go 2-2. Yeah, one in the back to back in that one.
All right. So if they're 2-2 this week, are they in the fourth? Tied for fourth.
The Celtics schedule coming up is pretty easy. I thought I was looking it up earlier today. They have some games, but not like
Celtics played the Nuggets tomorrow.
The Celtics have a stretch coming up of Hornets, Spurs, Cavs, Pacers, Nets, Heat, Pacers. So
they could lose twice this week, though. They put Denver, Philadelphia, and San Antonio.
Right. I meant like not imminently coming up, but like coming up.
The Pacers need to probably beat Boston both times, or one. Yeah, at least one.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Maybe they could upset them. Who knows? They're a good home team. Pacers are.
Yeah, y'all are rooting for Denver, Philly, and Charlotte this week.
If they got a 4 seed over Boston, I think that would be the biggest kind of
huge.
Yeah. It'd be such a middle finger to Boston for their whole year to lose the 4 seed to a team that hasn't had the best player for 45-50 games.
If the Celtics lose that series, like Kyrie's not staying, you know, like that's a huge deal for them.
It could be the end of the Celtics. Like everybody could just leave. Horford got opt out.
They're staying with the Pacers too. Like, holy Jesus, if they win, LeBron's gonna leave. And then it didn't matter, but
so to end this, and this is just a random thing because of Boston. Do you think they trade Gordon Hayward, and would you want the Pacers to have Gordon Hayward?
Yeah, I'd take Gordon Hayward. It's a high upside play. I know he probably makes more than he definitely makes more than his production this year, but I think you gotta make a bet that an off season where he's actually able to exercise and being in his home state might help him out enough to be good for you.
Right. And you think, I mean, look at Paul George. It took him a little while. I mean, it took him a little less time because he played that year right afterwards, but he's really didn't become like as good as he was going to become until this year. I mean,
yeah, and I think this is like anecdotal, so this is unfair to Hayward, but like, you know, his usage rates in Utah when he was awesome were like 23% and up, and his 2 seasons in Boston are both under 20%. Like, it's hard for him to get a rhythm without the ball as much.
So could you get Hayward in a salary dump, though?
Yeah, you'd have to throw an asset in, I think.
But like, if you threw in
– not a huge one, though.
Like, will it be a huge one, first-round pick?
Yeah. No, I think the first would be enough. I think when I say huge, I mean like Turner Sabonis.
Oh, is it, you think like a –
like Holiday or one first, you know, I think would be enough.
Yeah. I think it'd be worth it.
I think that is like kind of realistic possibility. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I mean, I think I did this last podcast. I was like, the way Paul George was heading maybe towards being the MVP candidate he was before he got hurt, and it kind of flattened him out for a few years. And I wonder if Hayward, who's still relatively young, will get, if he even gets just back to the level he was at, that's good enough. But he might, you know, like you said, after a full offseason, couple years, you know, you might actually see at the end of the second or third of the contract what's left. I think he's got 3 years left for this one. Assuming he picks up his option. Well, he has the option, right?
Oh, he'd pick it up.
Yeah, so he's got 3 years left. So you might see by year two or three of him actually reach the level that he thought he was going to reach, that he was heading towards at least. Because he's, how old is he, 28?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah, I think we're kind of grasping at straws, but I don't think it's like unrealistic as a trade.
No,
he does not have a player option. Wait, what the hell?
Yeah, he does. He definitely has a player option.
Okay, so he has two. He only has 2 more years, including the player option after this.
Yeah, but he's gonna. Why would he not? I mean, assuming
unless he's 100%, he'll pick that up.
That's like $35 million, right?
Yeah, and he'll be 30. He'll 100% pick it up.
Yeah, but you know, NBA players, if they're good, stay good to 31, 32 at least.
He'll be good. Yeah, I think that if they can get in on that, I'd absolutely do that.
Yeah, and if you don't go up to Turner's a bonus, that would be huge.
Huge.
Because then
we gotta stop.
You're getting too excited now.
I'm not getting excited. I'm just like creating a roster around him. I can't do that.
We'll do that off. So here's what we're probably gonna do. I think we at one point we'll do a future before the season ends.
Playoffs.
Maybe. Do we get a little break before the playoffs?
Maybe the playoffs matter though. Like in my decisions.
All right, guys. Well, just tweet at Tony at TeasedNBA and tell him you want a future podcast before the playoffs. And if enough of you tweet at him. I mean, I'm talking like 10, 15, 20, 30 tweets. He'll change his mind because
I get to be on every show now, so I get to decide what we talk about.
Well, these shows, I get to decide because I host these ones. So tweet at him at TeasedNBA or tweet at the show Lockdown Pacers if you want to hear a future podcast before the end of the year. You can follow me at FreedomAdam5. You can tweet at me, but I'm for that show. Tony's the one you got to keep tweeting at to get that to happen. You guys should check out the other Indianapolis podcast that's on this Locked On feed now. There's a Locked On Colts. I know some of you guys are Colts fans, stuff like that. I'm a Colts fan. You know, I know there's probably about the free agency right now. Some of the signs the Colts have. You got the draft coming up soon, so check out that one. Still in this podcast, listen to both, but Locked On Colts is up and running, so that would be – it's good to have a sister podcast or brother podcast, whatever you want to call it, kind of going, kind of running. What would you call that, a sister or brother podcast?
I don't know. They're like our cousin. It's a different sport.
Yeah, but they're on this. Yeah. Okay. But it would be a closer to us than like a locked on random
Bulls
college team. Yeah, Bulls. That's more like a cousin podcast. This one's closer to us because it's our city and we have crossover. But listen to that. You can always still locked on NBA and all stuff like that. Anything else, Tony?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's it for Locked On Pacers podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this one. We'll see you guys next week.